Phil Henry Show, and I'm Margaret Gray. This is music I can relate to right here.
You like this, huh, General?
Oh, yeah, these are the, what are they called?
That's the Beach Boys.
What is it?
Beach Boys.
Oh, yeah, there's the tale of the... All right, and, hold on, I want to... All dressed up in pink.
And he's not dressed up in pink, he's in red.
The little saint, yeah.
Yeah, this is Margaret Gray on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. That's General Galen Shaw with Bud Dickman, Robert Leonard, and here is Phil Henry.
Thank you very much, Marty.
But hold on for a minute. See, this is the one here. I remember they played this one at induction as we were going in to get to take our physical, and I was on my way to Vietnam, and this garbage was being played, and I'll never forgive them for it.
Well, do you like the song or don't you?
Oh, it's catchy. Now that I'm free and I'm back in civilian life, I like it, yes.
They played this while you guys...
We were going in to get our... Excuse me for saying this, Margaret. We were going in to get our balls held up. You know, turn left.
Can we clean it up at least for 5 seconds on this program?
All right, well, we'll clean it up. Good morning and Merry Christmas, everybody. The Phil Henry Show here on this Christmas Day. And just because it's Christmas Day doesn't mean we're not going to... have a show, huh?
Yeah, it's still kind of unusual.
Yeah, but that's unusual. You are working on Christmas Day. Oh, is it now?
Yeah, that's the word on the street. You don't work Christmas.
Hey, let me tell you what. The word on the street is nobody works Christmas, okay? But we're working Christmas. And tomorrow we will be working Hawaii as we go to the Elcott Overlord Induction Arch.
What? But this guy, every time you're over at the Elcott, wherever this guy's got these ashrams...
Yeah, ass ram.
Yeah, that's what they ought to call it, an ass ram, because I believe that's what you're going to get. Oh!
All right, General, thank you. That's real clean of you.
Well, you know, he'd always take the opportunity to filth it up, won't you, General? You'll always take the opportunity. You and Dickman.
No, wait. Wait a minute.
No. This needs to be said. You always take the opportunity to filth and dirty things. You love to leave your dirt and dirty things up, don't you?
I'd like to dirty you up.
You dirty filth...
Hey, come on.
That is uncalled for.
Oh, come on. It should be taken as flattery.
For you to put your filthy, dirty paws...
I bet you it's exciting or a little bit.
Excuse me, Phil, but I really do have to go and spit up.
All right, so anyway, Merry Christmas.
Forgive me, ladies and gentlemen. I'm so sorry. I know that this is Christmas. Oh, and by the way, I'm going to be singing Jingle Bell, so...
You mean Jingle Bells?
No, I call it Jingle Bell. All right?
All right, so you got one bell to jingle.
Right, like you.
Oh, boy, that's dirty pool.
All right, so welcome to the show. And we have for you today, obviously, we're going to have all the usual. We'll have Bob Bacon here with traffic in just a moment, just to find out what the holiday traffic is like, right, Robert?
Yeah, well, the holiday traffic,
Yeah, didn't touch them, sir. There's a lot of people on the road today. Obviously, you're going to be going places and to go see things.
By the way, Bud, your performance in A Christmas Carol, I thought was very, very good.
Oh, yes. Bravo, Bud.
Thank you.
That was pretty good, Bud.
It was very good, Bud, and everybody was outstanding. Robert, as the Christmas, as the spirit, what would you play?
I was the spirit of Christmas present.
Yes, and I was Christmas past.
Yeah, well, he didn't ask you, did he? He was asking Robert.
Well, yeah, but Margaret, you were good.
Fuck this.
Well, Margaret.
Hey, General, you know, what are you picking on her for, huh?
She's always jumping in the middle when you're in the middle of another subject. Then, when her time comes, then it's too late to mock her. Because she's now in the right place to be opening a big bazoo.
Oh, that's great, Grandpa. Now we all understand what you're saying.
Grandpa?
Wait. Anyway, Margaret, you were very good as the ghost of Christmas past. Yeah.
Yeah!
Thank you so much. Thank you.
And we also want to thank Mavis Leonard for her job as the ghost of Christmas future. And we had General Shaw. You had a cameo.
Yeah, that very small. I didn't want anything to do with this, not because I didn't enjoy it. But I simply didn't want to have anything to do with it, all right? I wanted to stay, just keep away from it and enjoy it. But I didn't want to put, I didn't want any of that. No. I'm not one of these. I don't do that play act stuff, you know?
I understand. But we did have a great, everybody was in it. Jeff Dowder is as Jacob Marley.
Yeah, how come you didn't call him Jacob Dowder?
Yeah, you blew it. You blew it. You know?
What did I blow?
Should have called him Jacob Dowder.
I don't know. So whatever, we called him Jeff Dowder.
Well, I thought there were a lot of people saying that it was wonderful, but he should have been Jacob Dowder instead of the one, whatever it was that you were doing there.
We were doing Jeff Dowder.
Yes, he should have been Jacob Dowder because that was the role he was playing, you know.
All right. World famous Phil Henry Show here and philhenryshow.com. It's time now to check out and see what's up with the traffic. Here's Bob Bakian. Bob, how's it looking?
Hello, Pat Phil here on the Saturday morning. Here's Christmas morning. Merry Christmas, everybody. It's Bob Bakian, the pilot. I got a happy news. Yeah, if you're taking the time, you're going to go up to Grandma's house today. Over the tree and out of the thing and out of your wood. Pull out of bed. You're going to wake up with wood. Here's Sky Boy.
Oh, I got to move down to bed. I'll tell you right now. You're going to have that here. The Grandma's a Christmas tree. I got a big, big, big present with a big bear suit. Open that up, Sky Baby.
And this is Newsbreak with Harvey Wireman on the Phil Henry Show for this Christmas morning, 2015. Or I should say 2015. Robert Downey Jr., who has been one of Hollywood's top stars since his 2008 comeback in Iron Man, was among 91 people granted pardons on Thursday by Gov Jerry Braun of California, who has made a traditonian of granting pardons on Christmas Eve. Mr. Downey was arrested on drug and weapon. God damn, what is that?
Weapons.
Well, drug and weapon charges in 1996 after he was stopped by the police, who found an unloaded .357 Magnum and small amount of the heroin and cuckoo in his car. After multiple probation violations, he was sentenced to prison in 1999. Harvey Wireman comment. Whatever, I don't give a shit. If Robert Downey Jr. is free, he's as free as a bird. Great country, guilty as hell, free as a bird. This is Harvey Wireman Jr. with today's Newsbreak.
Beautiful, Harvey. Thank you very much.
Oh, and the weather outside is frightful.
Yeah.
But the fire is so delightful.
Yeah.
And since we've no place to go.
Oh, I like this. Let it snow.
God damn it.
What are you? You're taking the Lord's name in vain.
I'm trying to hear the guy sing.
Sorry. We got Margaret coming up now. I'll give you some singing, but don't you worry about it. We got a little singing coming up right now with Margaret because I know that we're going to be hearing Jingle Bells with Margaret Gray. Is that right, Margaret?
Yes, we're going to hear Jingle Bells. And by the way, this is something that I do without lyrics. I don't have any lyrics. This is improvisation. Oh, jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Jingle, jingle, jingle. It's... Can we back that up, please?
God damn it, Margaret.
Back for God. Excuse me, Phil.
Are you going to... You know, this is Christmas Day, so are we going to have a problem here?
What are you talking about?
Well, you're like GD and all that.
No, I did not say. I said back it up. My throat wasn't clear. Why did they show that woman's ass hanging out like that?
Where?
On that. I'm sorry. That's Flo from Progressive.
Come on and sing the song.
Here it is. This is the song, and again, this is improvisational lyrics, Jingle Bells, as performed by me. Come on. Do 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 jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride on this open sleigh. Hey, jingle bell, jingle bell, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh, dashing through the snow. One-horse open sleigh, o'er the fields we go. Laughing all the way, bells on bobtail ring, making spirits bright. What fun it is to ride and sing a sleighing song tonight. Jingle bells, jingle bells, jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride.
I'm sorry, I'm losing the melody. You lost the melody, all right. If the melody was a kid, it'd be crying in a grocery store someplace being fondled. Forget it.
Oh, my God.
Oh, my God. What did you say? You heard me.
Jingle all the way. Oh, what fun it is to ride in a one-horse open sleigh. Jingle bells, jingle.
off.
You don't like that, do you?
No, I don't like that whole...
And what was this comment?
You heard me. I said if that melody was a lost child, it'd be in the corner of a grocery store someplace, being picked up by that guy Otis Toole.
Oh, God!
You are despicable.
I'm telling you right now. How's that despicable?
Well, can't you come up with a better example than that?
No, I cannot. That tune was lost.
Forget it. All right.
Oh, man.
Yeah, you're laughing about it, Mr. Henry.
Am I laughing about it? Well, I'm sorry I'm laughing about it, bud. Thank you very much for reporting on me. I'm laughing about it.
No, you are laughing about it, though.
You are laughing about it.
You really? Why don't you guys just call up Governor Brown, see if he'll pardon me?
That's nice.
Anyway, welcome back to the program here, folks. The world-famous Phil Henry Show. Thank you, Harvey Worm. That's an interesting story. Actor Robert Downey Jr. has earned a full and unconditional pardon. Now, why do they do that?
Well, you see...
Wait, hold on for a minute. I'll say...
You don't know anything about it.
Well, I want to give an opinion. This guy's a movie actor. That's all he does. The guy gets a pardon because California's bread and butter are these clowns that are in the movies, which is all fine, all well and good, if you ask me. We don't have the great actors, as we did at one time.
Oh, here we go. You know, General, you going down memory lane.
You go down memory lane every day, almost as if it's part of your commute. If I go down livery.
I didn't say you go down livery lane. You go down memory lane.
All right. So,
what do you think, General? Think that he's a drug addict?
I don't know what's wrong with this guy, Downey, and I could care less. If I wouldn't know this guy if I tripped over him in the dark. But the point that I'm saying is, you give this guy a break, then all these junkie and drug addict actors and these slobs that hang around down there on Hollywood Boulevard picking up cigarette butts, I don't know.
Well, you're afraid that there is some culture of drug abuse? I mean, obviously there isn't.
What do you mean, obviously there isn't?
I don't know, but as far back as we can go, there's been drug problems in Hollywood, man.
Well, Phil is right about that.
All right, what are you talking about?
We've had drug problems in Hollywood going back to the 20s.
Drug? I'm not talking about alcohol.
Yes, drug. Drug problems. There have been people using heroin and cocaine as far back as the 20s. I mean, who was the...
There was Talmadge. Mabel Talmadge was a terrible heroin user.
Who the hell is Mabel Talmadge? I'm not talking about silent movies. If I was in silent movies, I'd use heroin, too.
Shit. Yeah, probably not being able to talk or anything.
They won't let you talk. They won't let you do a goddamn thing. I'd have my nose shoved in a big pile of coke morning, noon, and night just so I could get something said. God.
All right, well, whatever the reason, that's what it was. So now here's Robert Downey. I don't know why he does this.
This is part of a tradition, all right? A tradition of allowing individuals to be pardoned for the scumbag...
Yeah, for the scumbag things they do.
Well, that's nice. I want to get on the line right now a guy who is going to talk about something slightly different. I don't think that he's going to talk about scumbags or anything, but he's going to talk about Anthony Bourdain, who is the chef, very, very well-known chef. And I was just watching his show on TV here. We have Don Mixa on the line with us. Oh, and Chef Carl Cedilia is due up, right?
Yeah, Chef Carl's going to be late.
Right. So Chef Carl Cedilia is going to be a little bit late, but we are going to have him on here in just a moment. But you know, it is Christmas time, and if there's one thing we think about other than gift giving and other than just the normal love and cheer that we share, it's food. And Don Mixa on the line, he is our reporter at large. You may recall, folks...
You were going to use him as a sports reporter, right?
Yeah, what's with Mixa now?
You could talk about me like I'm not here.
I'm sorry, Don, I didn't mean to do that.
Yeah, no, Phil and I discussed, and we thought it would be great if I was a reporter at large.
Yeah, that's he's gonna cover all kinds of things.
So you're gonna be out and about in the field, eh, Don?
That's correct, General, yeah.
All right, so Don, Anthony Bourdain's show, which I watch a lot, and I know a lot of people do, because it's an interesting show. He's going all over the world.
Well, he's going all over the world, that is true, but he's going all over the world with a camera crew and, and a bunch of security guards. See, the thing that I don't like about Anthony Bourdain, and I think it needs to be said, he acts as if he's part of the culture, you know, like he's getting in there and really getting to be friends with everybody. The only reason why people treat him well is because he has a camera crew from CNN. And he's got, he has the bully pulpit, if you will. Okay.
All right. Well, but what do you think of the cooking show?
Well, I'll get to the cooking. You mean the food part?
Yeah, the food part of his show, because a lot of it is very delicious looking, you know.
Well, it may be. I don't know. I look at some of that food with great suspicion, because you have to understand something, Phil. When you go to a place like Cambodia, you go to a place, for instance, I just saw him in a country, must have been some Southeast Asian, forgive me for saying this, but just a hellhole, you know. A lot of these places are hellholes, but when Anthony Bourdain comes in, they pull out the steam brush, they pull out the power sprayer, and they clean it up as best as they can, and they sit him down in the best wicker chair they can find. And they pour him, you know, but he's not eating what the regular people are eating. If he says he's eating a lamb chop, for instance, I can guarantee you, and lamb chop comes from a lamb that was probably, you know, probably craps gold. Forgive me for saying this.
What is the point of what you're saying? Are you saying that Anthony Bourdain is not actually experiencing the culture?
That is exactly what I'm saying. That's precisely what I'm saying. So, if you're talking about...
No, hold on. Let me pull this back.
I want to just get this one thought out, Phil, if I could.
Go ahead.
If you're talking about a guy that is going down into these countries and, hey, let's go down there and eat the same food that Anthony Bourdain's eating, well, you're never going to come near it. You won't come within 100 miles of this food. They trot out the very finest sheep and the very finest goats and... somebody made a joke here the other day when I was writing this report. They said, yeah, they trot out the sheep and the goats and whatever they don't, they eat. Whatever they don't blank, blank, they eat. And I said, you know, that's...
That's absolutely filthy and not funny.
That's exactly what I said. I said that too. I said, but I, you know, I'm sure Margaret Bourdain gets his pick of the litter, you know. So...
What are you saying now? Bourdain is
Yeah, talk about Bourdain, he butt-banging a goat?
I didn't say butt-banging a goat, did I?
See, this is what I'm saying, Phil. All right, let's get it off of this topic, and let's get back to where we... What's your beef with Anthony Bourdain, if you'll pardon the food reference?
My beef with Anthony Bourdain... Very good, Phil. Very quick of you. Very good. My beef with Anthony Bourdain is simply this. He tries to make it look like he's... hanging with the homeboys there in Busted Whistle, Egypt, and over there in Smallville, China, and wherever he goes. And that guy has got a camera crew, and he's got bodyguards, guys with submachine guns and hand grenades and flak jackets, that if anybody comes within 100 yards of Anthony Bourdain, they will be cut in half with a very deft maneuver of a Schmeisser in the hands of a very qualified and, dare I say, deadly member of security services of any given country. Now, I am...
Okay, so we know that he has bodyguards, and I don't doubt that there has to be some security consideration, because they're, you know, wherever they are. And I don't doubt that he's getting the assistance, perhaps, of the local government. And he's going to visit people who know food and who are famous for their food. But I don't understand what's wrong with any of that.
Does anybody want to explain this to Phil?
Well, I sort of see Phil's part in this. I understand what you're saying, though, Don, when you say it isn't fair for Anthony Bourdain to be allowed this sort of image.
If Anthony Bourdain is not actually going into the Latin quarters and the dark, you know, and the black hole of Calcutta, whatever the hell, I don't know what you're talking about. What difference does it make? If he's, sitting down and having a very delicious meal, I don't care if he goes to the hotel after that and throws it up, you know?
Yeah, what if he did that? Not even reporting on that.
Well, they're right there, General. You just made a point, and I know you didn't mean to make the point, but you made a good point.
Hey,
well,
let me tell you, if I made a good point, then I meant to mean it. I mean, that I meant it. God damn.
Did you mean to say that Bourdain may be,
What I'm saying is... I don't care. It's for the entertainment purposes of the show.
All right. Let's just say it is. But if Anthony Bourdain, Phil, goes back to his hotel after it, sitting down and having a delicious barbecue and bourbon, you were saying you like the barbecue bourbon show that you've seen on there, isn't that right?
Yeah, I thought that was fun. That was cool. He was sitting there fishing.
All right. Let's say Anthony Bourdain, and then he goes back to his hotel after the cameras have stopped rolling and after all of the niceties have been done. And Anthony Bourdain throws his guts up. Then what do you say? See, that's my whole point, and that's why I'm just a little perturbed with that.
Right, hold on, I'm going to bring on Ted Bell now.
I'm sorry?
Bring in Ted Bell on. Hold on. Go ahead, Ted.
Hi, everybody. Ted Bell here at Ted in Beverly Hills. I want to remind you, even though it's Christmas Day, come on down. We've got our all-day slow-cooked prime rib Oh, it's good. It's going fast, and we will not cook anymore because it's very difficult, and we have lives of our own, you know. But anyway, very, very good to be with all of you, Phil. And Don Vixa, how are you?
Mr. Bell, how are you? I'm very, very grateful to meet you.
I'm grateful to meet you. Phil brought me on because we want to give a little advice here on the Anthony Bourdain thing.
Well, I got it under control, if that's what you're saying.
No, I don't doubt that you do. But I'm saying that Anthony Bourdain is an individual who I would agree with you, first of all, Don, that he's a little bit of a glory hog. You know what I'm saying, Phil? He's a little bit of a guy that...
So you agree with Don?
Yeah, a little bit. When I look at Anthony Bourdain sitting there with the shades on and he's going down a river and he's got some sampan and he's making some guy carry him rickshaw style through the streets of Hong Kong, it bothers me. It disturbs me greatly. And then he sits down, he's swishing his hand in the water and he's just... I don't get it, man. There's something about it that's phony baloney.
Well, I'm really having a difficult time with this review because... What you're giving me so far here, Don, and you, Ted, as well, are impressions, but you're not giving me any real facts.
Here's the fact. The fact of the matter is that Anthony Bourdain has been living it up on this show, Anthony Bourdain, and it's called Unknown Places or Places Unknown. What's the name of the show, Phil?
I don't know. I thought you'd know.
I don't know the name of the show.
It's called Exploring Unknown. He's giving the impression that he's going off into the wild. And, like, you remember the guy, Dr. Stanley and Mr. Livingston?
Oh, Dr. Livingston, I presume.
Yeah, who was that guy?
Well, that was the explorer Stanley. That was supposedly,
Well, whatever, but that was I think this guy's trying... Now, see, I'm looking at the show right now, and now he's outside of the boat, and he's helping to push it. Now, he doesn't have to do that. But he said, hey, guys, get me pushing a boat. He spends about 3 seconds doing that, then he gets his big fat ass, and of course he's not fat, but comparatively speaking, when you're comparing him to these people of the Southeast Asian islands, and not the islands, but the Southeast Asian areas, and they're drinking Pabst Blue Ribbon, and they're sitting there wearing Washington National hats. I mean, how native can this possibly be? So my point, and I think what Don Vixa is saying, is that Bourdain is... I don't know. I don't know how to explain it.
Well, that's what Margaret was saying.
That's exactly what I was saying. You don't know how to explain it, and yet you are making this kind of critique. I think the program...
Excuse me. This was going to be my report, if it's all right with you.
Go ahead.
All right.
Ted is right. Bourdain is I don't know what's wrong with it. There's something about it that bothers me. There's something. He's eating this food, but I think it's sterilized. I think they bring it in from a... I don't think it's cooked native. I think it's cooked so that his American stomach can handle it. And then they pretend like, oh, you guys just cooked this up over an open fire here with your hands that are full of diphtheria and all kinds of tetanus. Jesus Christ. You know?
Hey, but you know what? That's very, very true. How do we know... he's eating the food that is, you know, that's actually prepared there. Because if he did, if he did, his limbs would freeze up with polio within 12 hours, and that's a fact, man, from me to you. So I think if you're not getting shots, if you're not going to be protecting yourself, you have to eat food that was prepared thousands of miles away in sterilized kitchens. All right, everybody, Ted Bell saying goodbye for now here. Merry Christmas to Beverly Hills.
Wait a minute, you're leaving?
Yes, I'm leaving. I got a business to run, for Christ's sake.
Oh, so he's leaving now after he drops his little hand grenade.
Margaret, I'm telling you right now, I don't have any...
Well, there goes Ted Bell.
Yeah, so what do you want to do?
Right, well, Phil, I'm still here. I'm Don Mixa, and I'm the guy that you wanted to interview about this.
I did. Margaret, you're providing a very good counterbalance to this.
Well, I'm here, too. I'm listening to both sides of this. I don't know what to think about this.
I personally, my opinion is this. I don't think there's anything deceptive at all about this man's show. I think the food that he's eating is prepared there. I think he understands that we all know he is traveling with a film crew, and that's quite a company of people. I don't think I haven't seen him try to put it over on anybody and say, "Hey, man, I'm backpacking through the wilds." You can see the camera sitting with him wherever he is. So I think it's an honest program. Yeah.
Well, how much do you understand? How much do you understand food? Number one, how much do you understand celebrity? How much do you understand television?
That's true, Phil. Do you really know about the style of documentary that they're making here?
And no, I don't. But I can tell you that you're bringing along a crew of people. There's more than just him there. So that means that the people there are obviously they're making preparations. They want to have good publicity, don't you think?
Well, yeah, they want to have good publicity, but they could be fooling him. Yeah, here's some of our native cuisine, and in the back they've got a microwave. And,
oh, come on, will you, Don?
No. Why can't they?
Why couldn't they have a microwave in the back and heat up some clam dish or something that they... I don't know how it's done, Phil.
Well, how is what's done?
When they...
But they're laying a bunch of shit on you.
When they're laying a bunch of, yes, so you know what, on you.
Yeah, I think that what they do, Phil, is they have in the back a microwave.
What back? Where what back are we talking about?
In the back, where there's the scene.
What, I'm looking at these guys are standing in a jungle clearing. Where's the back?
The back is... Hey, I'll tell you where the back is, okay? She's working craft services there. Oh!
No, that's not funny.
No, it isn't funny at all, and it doesn't answer the question.
Where are they heating this stuff up?
At craft services. They've got a microwave or something. They're heating it up. Now, that's what I think.
All right. So we don't have any proof. We just have impressions.
I'm telling you right now, Phil... That Anthony Bourdain, you know what? You know, you go ahead and you eat whatever that guy's selling. You go ahead and eat fricasseed pigeon or a hippopotamus testicle or whatever it is.
God, I have never seen him serve up anything like that, although it is very, very exotic.
A lot of the food is what they call a delicacy. And, you know, when my wife, Patsy, tells me, hey, this is a delicacy, that's code for like a hippopotamus ball or something like that.
Yeah, that is generally code for hippo nuts or something.
Hey, it's not called hippo nuts. And
could we not have that kind of language, if you don't mind?
All right. Thank you, Don. Outstanding. You have introduced into the program food for thought, if you don't mind the play on words there.
No, I don't at all, but we have not settled anything, and I want to be back and settle this thing, because I'm telling you, you're not going to tell me. Right now, Bourdain is drinking some kind of a liquid that's being passed from one person to the next. That generally means narcotic. Now, you know that as well as I do, Phil.
What is?
Right now on television, look at him with the bare feet. God damn it. I can't take this guy, I'm telling you.
You're just jealous, you know that?
Yeah. How much of this is your jealousy, Don?
Jealousy of what?
The fact that the guy gets to travel around the world and eat all kinds of exotic food.
I don't care, personally. I'm not going to go down. You think I really thirst to go down to Central America and sit down with some Indians from the Andes and eat whatever goat they butchered up an hour before? No, that's not... My idea of a good time and a good meal, my friend, is Topps Chamberlain Burgers, okay?
But you say that again!
That's it. But I will tell you that the delicacies that these guys serve up, goat testicle or whatever you're talking about, I just don't think it's happening.
All right, Don, well, thank you very much for that Christmas morning report, so I will let you go, because I know you have time with the family.
Yeah, well, I'm still about 200 miles away from my daughter's house, but we ought to be there in time for probably breakfast tomorrow morning.
Is the traffic bad?
Yeah, Jesus, you know.
Well, where are you going?
I'm going to San Luis Obispo right now, and I can tell you it's we got started kind of late, so
that's not too far, but yes, if the traffic is heavy.
Yeah, well, Margaret, don't act as if you really care what happens to me after you carved up my report. So
I was simply I can critique, can't I, Phil?
She was critiquing the report, Don.
No, she doesn't give a damn about me. That's for sure.
Hey, look, Mixer, don't look. Everybody here gets their feelings hurt far too easy.
I'm just telling you, she doesn't give a shit. I'm sorry. I apologize, ladies and gentlemen. I'm done mixing.
All right, so that was nice.
What is up with him? What bug got parked up his rear end and made itself comfortable?
I don't know. Yeah.
Well, I think what happens on this show, we get a lot of people who come on to make comments, and they're never really allowed to say what they want to say because everybody's butting in. You know, everyone's butting in.
What are you looking at me for?
Because I'm looking at you as one of the people that butts in. Margaret does too. Everyone butts in. By the end of the report, nobody has said anything. You know, no one's been able to say anything, or at least the guy that I brought on to do the report can't say anything because the guy has not been able to say anything because the guy... Never mind, okay? All right, let's let's take this little bit of a break. We'll be right back. Phil Henry Show.
You better be good. Oh, I love... You better be good for... Oh, this is wonderful.
World famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. All right, man. Christmas Carol. A Christmas Carol is right now in our store, and it is in our online store, and that is, of course, our production of Phil Hendry's A Christmas Carol, starring our own Bud Dickman, Margaret Gray, Robert Leonard, Mavis Leonard, also Steve Bozell, also Marilyn Donnelly is in there, R.C. Collins is in there, Jay Santos is a part of a junkie, and...
You gotta be kidding me!
I thought Jay Santos was very believable.
Anyway, it's all there in our online store, so if you want to hear this pay-for-listen-only, if you want to hear the Phil Hendry Christmas Carol, it's in the online store at philhendryshow.com. It's philhendryshow.com. Check it out and make it a part of your Christmas listening. I know, that was a pre-roll, bud?
Yeah, it's supposed to be pre-roll.
Well, okay, I missed it then. Do you feel a great disturbance in the force?
Not the thing about Margaret's gas problems, please.
You're right. But what we're saying here is that if there is a disturbance that you're feeling, it isn't Margaret. It is the amazing Christmas promotion that we've got for you guys. Now, who is our winner today?
Right over there. There it is, right there.
James W. James W. is our winner. And he has got two tickets to see Star Wars, baby, a Christmas package featuring two tickets to the biggest movie release of all time. And we're choosing a new winner every show this month. So make sure you listen to the podcast to hear your name. We'll choose our winners next week from Hawaii. Also, this one's for our annual BSP members. One grand prize winner and a guest to be flown out to L.A. to have dinner and see the movie with me. You got that right, baby. We'll fly you out to L.A., head over to Ted's of Beverly Hills if he's open, if we can get booked. Or if not, I don't know whether Chidilli is going to be holding forth. Maybe he's having some convention of whatever it is.
Convention of what?
He's going to have some convention of people who like, omelets and stuff, because that seems to be all that he...
Well, he hasn't had a lot of time.
It's all he's ever cooking. It's all he's cooking on this show.
Well, he's actually doing stuffing for this program here today, Phil, so...
All right. Stuffing?
Yes, stuffing for the turkey.
Yes, he's doing a very delicious white wine stuffing with wild grain rice. Out of this world, man.
Have you had it?
No.
So, anyway, we will fly you out here and we'll have a steak someplace, and then we'll pop on over to Universal Studios Hollywood to watch the movie in stunning IMAX. So if you don't have a BSP, sign up now at philhendryshow.com. If you're already a monthly member, upgrade to an annual pass to be eligible for our grand prize. Good luck, and may the force be with you.
Oh.
All right.
What is this?
Well, what do you mean, what is this? This is Bing Crosby.
Yeah, they all started, whoa.
He did, Phil brought the volume up at a very odd place.
Well, I'm sorry, I don't know where I was bringing the volume up at, but Chef Carl Chidilia joining us now here from Ted's in Beverly Hills in Beverly Hills, California. Chef, that's not Chef Chidilia.
No, I still got on the line, Don Mixer. Don, you still there?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm waiting to...
No, Don, we're all done.
Oh, well, I thought that you were going to apologize and bring me back. I guess not, huh?
Apologize for what?
Apologize for the fact that I never got to say... All right, it's all right, Phil, I understand. There's Don Mixer reporting. I'll see you.
He wants you to apologize for having everyone stepping all over what he was saying, but then that was me and the general, and I'm certainly not going to apologize for that, but I do think you should.
Yeah, you should, Phil, as the host of the show.
No, I don't think I will. I'll leave that for you guys.
Wait a minute, you want me to apologize for what?
What you just admitted doing, stepping all over his report.
I admitted to that. He didn't.
Okay, so anyway, Chef Chidilia, how are you?
Phil, I'm doing very well, and here at Ted's of Beverly Hills today, we are having a Christmas turkey for people who are coming to have their Christmas turkey here. And what I'm going to be talking about here on the show today is white wine, wild wine stuffing. Now, this is an absolutely delicious dish, and the white wine stuffing starts with the white wine, all right? And
okay,
is dipped in there.
I'm sorry, right here.
All right, we're starting with the white wine.
Got a cup of white wine.
And then we have the wild wine. You know what? I'm looking at Bourdain now too. See, you got me thinking about this guy, so.
You know what? I knew it.
Yeah, that's right. That's right.
I knew it. I knew it as the minute we had Bourdain on.
Well, can't you focus on the recipe at hand?
No, I can focus on the recipe at hand. I'm not threatened by Arthur Bourdain, I will tell you that. Nor am I threatened by Don Mixer and what he. My own personal opinion is that Bourdain is a great chef. There is no question he's a fantastic chef. But I wouldn't put anything past him, you know.
You wouldn't put anything past him?
No, I wouldn't. Anything to make his show look good, he's going to do. Now, the problem with Bourdain
Oh, God, they're showing a pig being tortured here, man. I don't want to... this is nasty.
What?
This Bourdain show. Turn this goddamn show off.
Oh, no, Phil, you're causing it.
No, I don't care. I don't want to watch this shit anymore. Now I'm never going to watch this piece of shit show again. Turn it off.
Yeah,
turn it. Thank you. Okay.
Well, what are you doing?
I don't want to see Anthony Bourdain trussing up a pig in rope and carrying off to be butchered up.
Phil, this is a cooking show.
I don't give a shit if it's a cooking show.
Well, if I'm not the guy that did the thing to the pig, you know?
Did what thing to the pig? You weren't watching? Watching what? We had the Bourdain show on here as we were talking to Don Mixon, you guys, and now he's in some other country, and they just put a pig in a bunch of rope, and...
I remember. You don't eat swine, do you?
No, I don't eat swine, no.
Oh, well, just as bad as a priest.
No, I think that pigs are... I don't like to see pigs tortured, man. They've been tortured enough.
Oh, Phil, come on, will you please? Everyone knows that bacon and pork chops, and I'm not being John Travolta now in Pulp Fiction, please understand. But bacon and pork chops, it is a man's food. It is a man's feast.
No, it isn't. Bacon and pork chops. I used to eat bacon and pork chops. Well, don't you eat it no more? No, I don't eat it no more.
Well, I buy no bacon and pork chops. Delicious. Have you seen the show that I'll say for Bachelor?
You know, Chef Chedilia, I bet you anything.
No, have you seen this? This is my question. Have you seen the United States of Bacon?
Have I seen the United States of Bacon?
Yeah, of Bacon.
Of Bacon?
Bacon?
Yeah, what do you think I'm saying?
Bacon?
Oh, give it a rest, will you, Phil? You and your pronunciation. Have you seen it?
Yeah, no, I haven't, and I won't watch it. It's a bunch of slobs eating the mutilated flesh of a very intelligent creature, which is just as smart as a dog, if not smarter, just as affectionate as a dog, if not more affectionate, an animal that is domesticated, so it's completely at our mercy. It's not a wild animal. This is a creature that we have domesticated. And
well, what about cow? You want to eat the cow?
I'm not going to get into a lot of philosophy here, man. I'm not going to start knocking people for eating cow. I'm not going to start knocking... I'm just telling you, I'm not going to watch a show that shows the a pig being caught in the wild there.
Now, Fred, I'm a wild pig, though.
That is a wild pig, Phil, not a domesticated one. Doesn't make any difference, man. Doesn't make any difference.
Well, at least it is not at our mercy. Oh, you see, that's what you said, and that's what you're missing, Phil. Phil, this is a country on the move. It is a country that is... on the move with bacon in hand. And I know it sounds...
Well, it is true. We are moving forward with bacon in hand, you know.
Yeah, I'm saying you gotta understand, the country is moving forward, moving ahead with a pork chop, you know.
We are, in essence, Phil, I know it sounds ridiculous, it probably looks ridiculous, but we are 300 million moving forward en masse with pork chop...
With pork chop in hand.
Yes, with pork chop in hand. And...
With pork chop in hand. Does that include all the women?
If you get your kicks seeing a woman marching very proudly down a street in a tight skirt holding a pork chop aloft.
Does that include women?
Yes, is what I'm saying.
No, so I think what we're saying here is that America is really fluttering the joy of Bacon and pork chop. And
Bacon and pork chop?
You know what? Fuck you and a horse you...
Oh, get him back on there.
Yeah, you're not allowed to hang up, Chef. Yeah, yeah. You're not allowed to hang up. No. There he is.
Hey, man, watch your language, okay?
I apologize. I didn't know.
You didn't know what?
I was not up on the celery.
You didn't know that you're on the celery?
I didn't know I was on the celery.
You didn't know you're on the celery?
No, I didn't know that I was on the celery.
We don't know what you're saying, Chef.
Okay, well, that just shows how pleasurable you are. And as far as the bacon goes,
All right, let's get to the white wine and the...
Now, let's do that, shall we? I got a whole bunch of waiters standing here. They got orders lined up for a mile. They're waiting for me to make a decision around here, and I'm talking to you. So...
You want to get going?
I'll get to you in a minute, Eddie, okay? Tell Ted to cool his heels about a year with Henry. Now, what we do is we take the white, the rice, you boil it, you pour wine into it, and as far as I'm concerned, you can throw it in the street. That's Chef Trotsidilius.
So you're going to be a child about it?
Yeah, I'm going to be a child about it. I got a bunch of other. I got to do now. But I will say one thing. I want to just tell you one thing, Phil. Bacon and pork chop and a pork rind, too. Have you ever had pork rind?
Yeah, I've had pork rinds. They are vile beyond words.
What a pussy, man.
Yeah, Phil, that really, you are a pussy. Why, because I don't want to eat fried fat? I'm a pussy?
No, no. You're missing the point, Phil. The pork rind is something that is delicious. It goes back many years. And
Chef, with all due respect, if anybody should be eating fried fat, it's you.
Uh-huh.
Hey, what are you doing, Chidilly? I got people lined up around the block.
I'll get to you in a minute, okay, Bell? Thank you very much, Phil, for what another charming encounter on your... Forget it, man. I don't have time for you, and I don't have time for your...
Come on, let's go, let's go!
Anyway, folks, thank you very much, Chef Carl Chidilia, and I guess I've got everybody pissed off at me now.
Well, we're all wondering, where did this pig love come from?
Is that pig love? It's the fact that I don't want to see those animals. To me, pigs are animals that we have domesticated for the most part. They're creatures that have proven themselves to be very affectionate and very intelligent animals. I don't want to eat one of them anymore, okay? That's all. When I told you to turn that shit off, I meant it.
Well, see Anthony Bourdain, see what he do with a pig.
Yeah, he might be making pork rinds out of it.
Get out of there with that, will you? Well, I don't know. You know, folks, this is a Phil Henry show. He certainly got touchy-feely. Here's a guy that used to eat pork and everything. Yeah, I used to eat all that stuff. I don't eat it anymore. But that really disgusted me. I was ready to... You know, I'm cool with the Anthony Bourdain show.
No, I don't think you are. And I think a little bit of you was in Don Mixa, to be perfectly honest with you. I think a little bit of you was rooting Don Mixa on, you know?
Well, no, a little bit of me. I got nothing against Anthony Bourdain, and some of the stuff he eats and that he features on his show looks absolutely fantastic. And even if they're eating pig, but for me to see this thing getting slaughtered like that, I mean, getting caught like that,
But so this whole thing with the hunting, what do you think of that?
Let me tell you something. Anybody that says they hunt for food, they're hunting for sport. There's not a single human being in America that needs to hunt for food. Not one. Unless they willingly live someplace that is so remote they must, or unless they're a native person who lives in those remote areas of Alaska or someplace else. But regular old rank-and-file, run-of-the-mill, European, African-American, Asian-American Americans don't need to go out and hunt for food. They can go to a store and they can buy their food. If they go and they hunt for food, they're not hunting for food, they're hunting for sport.
And you know that how?
Because they don't need to go and hunt for food, man.
What are you talking about? They gotta have the food.
They gotta have food, yeah.
And so why can't they go hunt for it?
Because they don't have to. Because they're doing that for kicks. Do you understand? It's kicks. It's laughs.
Laughs? Man, I know that a lot of hunters in my family would be very offended by that, Mr. Henry.
Well, you know, ask me go ahead. Find a flaw in my logic. If you go out and you hunt, and you say you're hunting for food, and I say to you, oh, really? Well, why don't you just go to the store and buy it? Well, because why, man? Because you want to feel man enough to go out and kill a four-legged beast that has no hope against you at all? Because you want to feel like you're organic and close to the earth, because you're just kind of jerking off. You're a 21st century jag-off trying to feel like you're Mr. Nature. Is that it?
Jesus H. Christ, Henry. You just offended about 70% of your male listeners.
Ask me if I give a shit. How many times I got to keep telling you guys that?
You know, Phil, I think that you need to turn over a new leaf for this new year. I need to know. All right.
Margaret.
No, I need to know. Whoa. I need to know. Whoa, whoa.
God damn, it's great. You really got it.
I'm emphasizing. I need to know. Are you going to be on board and come with me in these things I have to do, or are you not?
What are you talking about?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking... Funny, I was thinking of Casino there with Joe Pesci. Are you going to be playing this in the new year to get as many people listening to this brilliant program as possible?
Of course I am.
Then why would you take the position that hunting... is for slobs that want to, what did you say, jerk off? God.
Jesus, Henry.
Because I think at the end of the day, they want me to be honest. They want me to, what do they want, a fake version of me? They got to have the real guy.
Yeah, well, the real guy, man, I don't know about that, you know.
Yeah, the real guy.
Oh, the real Phil Henry ain't good enough, huh?
I ain't saying that, but the whole point is the real Phil Henry, God damn.
That's a little tough to take, the real Phil Henry.
Is that right? All right, we're going to have Mavis Leonard to come up next and talk to us about her experience as the Ghost of Christmas Future on Phil Henry's A Christmas Carol, now available in our online store, philhenryshow.com. If you haven't heard our very unique take on A Christmas Carol, Phil Henry's A Christmas Carol, please do. Head on over to our online store and pick up a copy of that. It's back by request.
Yeah. We'll be all alone under the mistletoe.
this is the world-famous Phil Henry Show, and I'm Margaret Gray. And we certainly do encourage you to get the Top of the Line podcast in your home and all of the archives of this show and all of the other wonderful things that we have to offer. The world-famous Phil Henry Show website represents a podcast that is top shelf. It is what we would call vintage. It is what we would call the best cut of meat. It is, all right, so it's not swine in a net. That would be someone else's podcast, right, Phil?
Yeah.
So if you are the kind of person that enjoys the finer things in life, become a subscriber to the Phil Henry Show website. Become a BSP, a Backstage Pass member, and of course, be eligible for all the wonderful things that accrues or acquires or flows from that. I'm Margaret Gray. Yay.
All right, thank you, Margaret. Mavis Leonard on the line with us here, and I know that she's on her way to go have some breakfast this morning. Oh, no, where's she heading now?
Allie, where are you going this morning? Mr. Sarah wants to know.
Right now, who am I talking to?
Robert.
Oh, right now, I'm just heading out to go over to your Aunt Sylvia's house.
Where?
I'm going over to Aunt Sylvia's house.
Oh, good.
All right, Mavis, it's Phil Henry.
Oh, good morning, Phil, and Merry Christmas to everyone.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Merry Christmas, Mavis.
Merry Christmas, Miss Leonard.
Merry Christmas. And, Phil, I have so many phone calls from people this morning saying they loved the Christmas Carol. What I did.
It was great. You were great. You were fantastic. And Bud, you and Mavis did a great job.
Bud, you are very convincing as Ebenezer Dickman.
Yeah, you really scared me when we was at the graveyard.
Yeah, that's a key moment in A Christmas Carol when
Ebenezer Scrooge.
Scrooge, that's right. Ebenezer Scrooge, when he finds out he is screwed. You know.
No, it's Ebenezer Scrooge, dear, not screwed.
If Ebenezer Scrooge.
No. Scrooge.
All right. Well, I'll look it up enough.
Honey, it's right there on the website.
Right. But it says Ebenezer Dickman on here, so.
Yeah, it's a play on Scrooge.
Right. Well, but the point is, that was the point where Ebenezer Scrooge realized he had a very bad life that he lived, and he saw he's dead. He's dead. You know, dead, and there's nothing he could do about it.
Yeah, and that's when he decided to change his ways.
That's a very, that's a very pivotal moment. And have you seen the versions of A Christmas Carol, Mavis?
What are you talking about?
The ones on TV.
Well, I used to watch the ones the kids loved when they were little, Mr. Magoo, you know?
Yeah, the Mr. Magoo one was good.
Mr. Magoo, yeah, I remember that one.
Then they had another one on... George C. Scott, I thought he was very good. But I don't really care. I don't go in for that too much. I love to sit down, and I get my kicks watching It's a Wonderful Life and imagining that no one cares, you know? Have you ever thought what that would be like?
What do you mean?
Oh, like if George Bailey had not lived at all and still the same town. Everybody's cool. You know?
So he had no effect.
Yeah, I would love to see that. You know, I would love to. So the angel says to him, look.
I don't understand. How does that work?
Hold on for a minute, General. So the man is going to kill himself, right? And then the angel comes down and says, no, don't you do that now. I'm going to show you how the world would be changed without you. And he takes him back into town, and the world ain't changed at all. It's the same damn world. So the George Bailey looks at the angel, tips his cap, hails a cab, goes back out to the bridge and jumps.
Oh, my God. Why would you want to see that?
I think that's a riot. Are you kidding? Funny in hell.
I don't know.
I think that's pretty funny, Miss Leonard.
I thought it'd be funny as hell. You know what?
You think it's funny as hell that he looks and he sees that he hasn't made a difference?
Oh, come on, Phil. I mean, yeah. All right. Tell you what. Just to make you feel better, he tips his cap. He says, F you, angel, right? Goes down to the bar, gets real drunk, then dives into the water, and then swims out and says, I'm only kidding.
What are you laughing at?
That would be a very good version.
I tell you, that's something to it. So,
So he gets drunk. I don't understand the sense of humor, Phil. You and some of the people on this show.
Are you talking to me?
I'm sorry, darling. I didn't mean to be...
Don't call me darling. I'm your elder. Are you talking about me?
I didn't mean to speak ill of you, Mavis. I apologize. I was saying, not you, but Phil's sense of humor, I think, is a little bent.
And you're saying I share the sense of humor Phil Henry has?
Well, I just don't understand what is interesting or funny about a man who finds out that he's not made a difference. He tips his cap.
He gives a tip of the cap to the angel and tells the angel to pound it up his, you know, up his...
Yeah, tell the angel to stick it up the ass.
That's right, to stick it up the ass.
And what do you mean, stick it up the ass?
Well, I imagine angels share one ass, because that is the metaphysics.
What the hell is she talking about now?
Look, I'm getting tired of being referred to in the third person around here. You understand what I'm saying?
Excuse me, David. What are you talking about?
I'm telling you that if you look at the metaphysical discussions around the existence of an angel, all the angels that you can sit on the head of a pin, right? Well, that basically means they all share one ass. So all I'm trying to say is that angel that saved George Bailey that day, George Bailey finds out he ain't made one lick of difference. He looks at the angel, tips his cap, says, stick it up the ass, gets in a cab, drives straight to that martini place, or whoever that guy is, right?
Oh, yeah, that was the bar owner.
Yeah, at that bar where the guy punched him out. And he gets stinking drunk, staggers to the bridge, leaps in, and he knows the angel's watching, and then he swims out and says, I'm only kidding.
But what if the angel goes to save him?
No, the angel wouldn't save him, because the angel know he blew it. He blew it.
Yeah, the angel know he blew it.
Yeah. So
the angel would know that he blew it by showing George Bailey his life, because there was nothing different about it. So the angel, out of bed, just sheer mortification, would stand there and let him drown.
I think any angel would, yeah. I blew it, I blew it. I'm going to let him drown. Then he swims out and says, I'm only kidding, you dumbass.
Boy, that angel would feel like one dumbass, wouldn't he?
Yeah, one dumbass. That's what all the angels share, by the way, one dumbass. You know?
All right, so anyway, we had you on the program.
Yeah, so anyway, Mavis, enough of your mindless babble. We'd like to thank you for playing a ghost. Thank you so much.
Well, you did a very good job. You were very convincing. I thought you were wonderful, darling.
Well, you were good too, Margaret, as the ghost of a prince of I can't remember.
Ghost of Christmas Past.
Yeah, Ghost of Christmas Past. But think about that, Phil. Think about how we can make It's a Wonderful Life something that we want to watch again, because I'm getting tired. God, I'm tired. So tired.
Well, you're tired of the film, huh?
I'm tired of the film, but I'm just tired. I think the film made me tired. I think I got iron poor blood because of that movie. You wouldn't know it. But
all right. Mavis, thank you very much for being on the program, and have a wonderful rest of Christmas.
Well, what did I do? Did I piss you off?
No. You didn't piss me off. We're having a kind of a weird day here.
Yes, Don. Everybody is strange today.
Well, ain't that the truth? You know, I second that. Everyone's strange. You got that right.
Yeah. And I just let you go and do your thing. So you're going over to your Aunt Shirley's, or you're going over to your sister's?
I'm going over to my Robert's Aunt Shirley. We're going over there. And I've got Otis driving today, Robert.
Yeah, Otis is a good man. He's going to pull over?
Yeah, because I got to get something to eat. I'm not going to wait around for dinner, Otis. Pull off here, that Carl Jr.
Hello,
Ben. Yeah, pull it to Carl Jr. Get up real tight. Yeah, get in tight. I like to have the car sucked up tight to that talk back, because those dumbasses don't hear nothing. Bottom corner? Yeah, give me a sunrise sandwich. You still there?
No.
Bottom face? Give me a sunrise sandwich, a cup of coffee, and I want some of that hash browns you got. I don't know. Do y'all make it as good as McDonald's?
I think, bud.
Yeah, we'll see about that. Give me that, and give me a lot of napkins, too, all right? I'm always slopping it around the car here.
All right.
So
doesn't sound like you've slowed down at all.
We haven't. I'm just practicing. So
all right, thank you.
Oh, you hung up on my aunt.
Yes, I hung up on your aunt. So, what else have we got, General?
Well, what else have we got, General? We're all looking forward to eating now, I'll tell you that, because I got to go home and eat. I don't care whether he had that pig, if you will, hog-tied or not. I am ready for some food.
Now, what was that recipe, though?
That was a wild rice thing, you know.
Oh, that's right. Look, Chef Chidelli is very business, but you should understand, ladies and gentlemen, the wild rice and the The white wine. The wild rice and the white wine. Those are your two key ingredients. And then just throw any other, throw garbage.
Yeah, just throw a bunch of garbage in it.
You don't throw garbage in it, but it doesn't, there's no point. There's no point.
No point in what?
No point in going through it because people are going to do what they're going to do. They're going to make the recipe as they wish to make the recipe. And I don't think there's any doubting of that.
All right, well, look, as we have every day for the past year, we thank you for listening to us. We appreciate you guys being Backstage Pass members, if you are. We appreciate you guys just checking out our podcast. We appreciate you sharing this podcast. We appreciate you sharing it around, giving us a good comment there on iTunes, a good rating and review. All of that stuff is very, 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 very much appreciated by your brothers and sisters here at the world-famous Phil Henry Show. I hope you guys have a good Christmas. I wish I had some kind of heavy thing to say here.
Yeah, probably ought to say something, like peace on earth. They got a deal like that,
Yeah, what about peace on earth?
Yeah, okay, peace on earth. That sounds good, man. Peace on earth. Let's see if we can't make peace on earth happen. I don't know if it's a possibility or not.
Well, what does that mean?
I'm just trying to say something nice, okay? So peace on earth, goodwill to all people. And I'm looking for the Nat King Cole, bud.
Looking for Nat King who?
Nat King Cole.
Yeah, screw it. Here he is, Nat King Cole.
Greeting cards have all been sent.
Some kind of a joke or something?
The Christmas
couldn't find it.
Rushes through.
World famous Phil Henry Show is executive produced by Phil Henry for Siempre Incorporated. All rights reserved on Podcast One. This is, I love this.
This is Nat King Cole.
No, obviously it's not, man.
Couldn't find Nat King Cole.
Merry Christmas, darling.
Oh, I love this.
We're apart, that's true.
I think.
But I can dream, and in my dreams, I'm Christmasing with you. Joyful, there's always something new, but every day is a holiday when I'm near to you. The lights on my tree, I wish you could see. I wish it every day.
Yeah, I know. You're on the air, by the way.
With desire to see you and to say that I wish you Merry Christmas. To see you and to say that I wish you Merry Christmas, Happy New Year too. I've just one wish on this Christmas Eve. I wish I were with you. I wish I were with you.